Hey, welcome back. We're so glad to celebrate this Easter morning together in a new way, for sure, for many of us. But we just hope that God continues to bless this time together. And just so excited to share this moment, these moments with you. Again, just thank you for all those that are coming from all over the world. We just are continually lifting you up in prayer. Know this, that this is not a moment where God's going to just kind of scoot on by. That this resurrection story might be the best story for us that we desperately need at this moment. So let us begin with prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day, this Easter morning. You have risen. You have risen indeed. And we give you thanks. We give you praise. We ask that you would do the deep work again in us so that we can be about the business that you're doing through us. Help us, draw us in prayer, draw us to your Son, Jesus. Help us to again be transformed and renewed, that we may grow through this and not just get through this. We're so grateful for your Spirit, for your Word, for your Son, Jesus, for your love. Bless these words. Bless this moment as we celebrate together this special, special day. We pray this in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, again, on this Easter morning, just want to invite you to think about all the Easters you've had, and how that this is a very different kind of Easter, isn't it? This is an Easter that causes us to imagine maybe where is God? What's he doing? Where's he at? What's happening kind of here? But last few weeks, I hope, have helped you continue in figuring out, knowing how our faith meets us where we so desperately need it. The big questions in life, the deep pain. And so I encourage you to keep looking to Jesus. This isn't just a phrase. We don't just, hey, I need to keep looking to Jesus. This is we need to get on our knees and pray. We need to be getting into his word and understanding what he's doing in this world and understanding our role in this too. It may be jumping in and getting involved by praying for others. Maybe you get into that group me up and getting into Bible study, or you get into the prayer group and you share prayer concerns or people share prayer concerns with you, and we all start praying more and more together. I hope and pray that you'll be encouraged by doing this. Again, we'll put up the how to do that again later. We'll have it on our website as well and Facebook. But know this, it's a great opportunity for you to grow in your prayer, to grow in your relationship with the Lord, and not just kind of get through it, okay? So again, please hear us on that invitation on that. We talked about how we can endure anything by just realizing that God is enough, that he's all we need. Right here, right now. In addition to that, we've been trying to encourage you to understand that it's so much more than us getting through, but about us, again, learning to be in step, even in our homes or even at limited work hours. Some of you have lost your jobs, and I'm so sorry. That is not easy. And I just want you to know we're praying for you. God wasn't surprised by this. He is going to work on your behalf. But don't miss this time. Use this time to get to know the love, the goodness of your Heavenly Father. Let's see what this Easter morning's text has to help us in this by turning to John 20. And so if you got your Bibles open, great. If you don't, ask you to turn to them or open them up on your phone or your tablet or your laptop and just jump in there. We're going to be reading a couple different sections in John, and I'm going to kind of pull out of here every little bit and kind of show you some key areas. And I hope and pray that it will encourage you on this morning. But it's the Easter morning. It's a great text for us today. Think about how unique this morning was for the first Christians. And as we unpack this story, you're going to kind of see these elements that so relate to us today in a way that maybe people in the last 1,000, 1600 years, have never imagined Easter because of the normal pageantries, of the normal celebrations, of the normal, the choirs are the best they are all year when they come out and bring it. The bands, okay, does their best songs and stuff. The preacher, the people giving the message, I try to have my best message for Easter, for sure. It's the most holy of holy days for Christianity. And so it's one of those things of how we can kind of lose some of that by looking at how they had their first Easter and how our Easter here with everything going on is very different. We're alone. Many of us are in a room, maybe by ourselves, or we have just some close loved ones or some really, under 10, family or friends. They were alone as well. And there were a lot of questions they had. But see how God met them in their deep questions, in their pain, in their tears. Let's check this out together. John chapter 20, first few verses, and we'll kind of skip around. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb, and she saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. This obviously was a little puzzling. That was not what she expected. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." What? Are you kidding me? What? We don't know where they've put him. They've taken him. We don't know where, and they are so lost. They're so struggling. They don't know where he is. I'm sure many of us have never had the question of, where is our Lord? Now, again, a little different here. She went to go visit the gravesite. She went to go to pay her respects, to pray. And he's not there. The place where she was certain he was going to be there. Sometimes we can be so certain and be so maybe ready for a surprise. The text continues on. Verse 11. Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb. She's crying. She's weeping. She saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" I love that. It's so something Jesus would say when he'd come across someone who was in pain or hurting and say, "What would you like me to do for you?" Or, "Why are you crying?" They have the perspective. The angels have the perspective that we don't, that there's a whole new thing happening here. So exciting. "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there. Don't miss this. But she did not realize that it was Jesus. He asked her, "Woman," again, like Jesus, "why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Just tell me, and I'll find him. I won't make a big fuss. I won't tell anyone else about it. You're not in trouble. Tell me, I want to find him. So Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. "Go instead to my brothers and tell them I'm ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." And don't miss this part. Throughout this narrative of Jesus, throughout the story that we hear of Jesus in the book of John, we have all this the times when Jesus will talk about how he is a teacher, and he is. That he is one sent from God, that they're like friends. But now he calls them brothers. He calls my Father is now your Father, my God, your God. That's the intimacy we haven't seen yet. He taught about it, but now it's like there's a new relationship happening. And that's really the first point I really want to make in this, is that it's a new world. It's a new world that he has ushered in, this new kingdom that has begun. A world where they can know God, a world that they can know Jesus, knew God, where they can be intimate with their Heavenly Father like children. And He invites us to call Him Father. Now, some of you maybe are struggling with hearing that word Father. Maybe you just did not have the best relationship with your earthly father. I want you to know that it's not the case with our Heavenly Father. He loves you and He wants a relationship with you. He wants to be a part of your life. He has actually the best, most invested in you than you possibly imagine. In fact, He's been working in your heart before you ever knew about Him. Before you ever heard the word God, He knew your name. He loved you every step of the way, every morning, every evening, and every moment in between. But don't miss this. This new world is different. And it's not something new as in like there was no hint of this. In fact, the next point is that there was an exile, that we have been in exile. Early on in the book of Exodus, chapter 4, when Moses meets with Pharaoh, he actually says that Israel is to be like a son, to be God's very own son. And they were to live in a way that called people into a relationship with their Heavenly Father. And they struggled with it. And guess what? It's not their fault. It's humanity's fault. It's still our fault. We struggle with it too. But the good news is Jesus is that perfect son. He has broken through the exile, has made a way back from the ultimate far country, death itself. And He invites us, just like He invited those prodigal sons He taught about. Check it out if you want to look in Luke 15. Those prodigal sons and the prodigal father. That word prodigal is so important. Don't miss this. Prodigal has a double meaning. It means extravagantly generous or extravagantly wasteful. And these sons, both sons, wasted the father's love. One did it outwardly, one did it inwardly. But the generous father, he was so good in his love. He met them where they were at. And He meets us where we're at. And I want to invite you in understanding that He says, welcome home. That He invites you and me to come into His house to celebrate, to know Him, to experience His peace, His presence, and His love. Everyone who follows Jesus is welcome there in His name. Beloved son or daughter. Couple other things I want to point out, or people that I think are just crucial for us to not miss, is I know it's kind of basic, but Mary. Why is that important, Mary? Don't miss Mary in this, because in the fact that, yes, she's just kind of helping telling the story, but I think Mary's a lot where we're at. She is crying. She is weeping. She's looking into the tomb, and she's trying to figure out, what did they do to my precious Lord, my teacher? Mary meets us. God uses Mary to meet us and invites us to maybe share our pain with Him right now. Where are you hurting? Maybe it is a financial crisis. Maybe it is maybe just resources. Maybe it's feeling isolated, alone. Maybe it's actual health and you're just not sure what the Lord's going to do. I want to invite you in this moment to just breathe in deep, breathe out. Close your eyes and imagine you're standing there with Mary. Feel her question, where is my Lord? Let your pain, let your struggles, let your cries, let your questions just pour out to God. Give it to Him. Ask Him to help you with your pain and with your tears. And just maybe as you peek in the tomb with her, you'll be surprised at what you find as well. And what about the angels? I mean, it's kind of a little different, right? It's not something we expect to kind of go in a normal day. They weren't really used to angels as well. They definitely had accounts and experiences and stuff people had talked about, but nothing like this. Maybe sometimes, though, we can only see angels in our tears. It's kind of a thought that I got from a gentleman, another pastor named Tom. And he says, when people are afraid, angels tend to tell them not to be. I wrote this down because I didn't want to miss this. I want to make sure I got this crystal clear to you. When people are in tears, angels ask why. So say it out loud. Again, invite God to meet you or those cries and tears you had with Mary. Listen to them. Say it to the Lord. They have taken away my home, my spouse, my loved one, my children, my rights, my dignity, my hopes, my life. They have taken away my master. But may you find comfort, because we find the next person that jumps out in this story is the gardener. Now, Mary thinks this person she's run across is the gardener, right? That this person can't be Jesus, doesn't apparently look like Jesus. There's been some new transformation of this new resurrected body. There's just something there a little different. So she thinks he's the gardener. What's funny is that Mary was wrong on one level, but deeply right at another. And we find that's true a lot of times, especially in John's writings. Look at when Pilate is kind of declaring who this person is and kind of what's going on and how he's going to be condemned and, you know, for being the son and the king of the Jews and all this stuff. He was absolutely right when he said it. So John has a way of kind of twisting some things and kind of playing some double meanings. So he leaves these nuggets for us all the time. But in this part, this is the new creation that he invites us to be about right here, right now. That Jesus is the beginning of it. He's the beginning of this new creation. We get to experience this right here, right now, this morning. The text goes on to say this. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together, with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders. The doors are locked. They're afraid of what's outside. Can you relate? They're not sure of their future. He appears to be a failed Messiah. Back in Jewish times, failed Messiahs meant failed movements. Failed movements meant that those people in the movement were dead. They were just a matter of time to be hunted down. But in their fear, don't miss this, in their fear, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Peace be with you. Is there a more appropriate word? Not only on Easter morning, but on this Easter morning. Peace be with you. You don't have to try to make it all come together. You don't have to pretend. Tell the Lord your struggles. Tell him your pain, your regrets, your questions, and let him meet you where you are. I don't know about you, but this week was a little different for me. I set a timer on my watch, not because I can't remember it, but I just to try to have a special time just with the Lord. I shared with you before, I think, that 1 o'clock used to be my time, and I had to change it because there seems to be all these things going on at 1 o'clock. So I've now changed it. But what I found this week was really different in the fact that whenever it came up, I found myself kind of pulling back, hesitating. Like I didn't know what the Lord was either going to say, or I was afraid of maybe what I would say. I confessed that this morning to the Lord and asked for his forgiveness. Maybe that's been you for a while. Maybe you've been pulling back. Maybe you just think that God can't handle your questions, and I want to let you know he can. He can handle your tears. You don't have to have it all together. He meets us right where we're at. Peace be with you. After he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. That's where they pierced him. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. That's what we have when we can go to him and meet him. There are going to be times when he's going to meet us right where we're at, and we're going to have this, we're going to be overjoyed. We're going to feel his presence in such a powerful way, and the peace that passes understanding. There's going to be times we're going to go to him, and we're just going to, maybe the pain is too deep. And he's like, I'm right here with you. And he's patient with us, waiting for the right time for us, when we're ready to finally share our tears with him. So again, I want to invite you in that. I want to invite you to figure out where you need to go to the Lord, but know that he wants to meet you there, just like he met the disciples in their greatest fear, doors locked on that first Easter, uncertain. But listen to what Jesus says to them. Again, Jesus said, peace be with you. He says it twice. Don't miss that. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. So he's not just asking them to stay. In fact, it's crazy. At no point does he say stay in the room at this point. He told them, go back to Jerusalem, wait for a helper I'm going to send to you. Just wait, wait. And now he says, I'm sending you. He's sending us too. So maybe it's getting on that prayer group and starting to just pray for our congregation. Pray for people that send him from around the world. Hey, I'm in Hungary, and I just want to just lift this up time to. And we send that out to the group. Maybe it's one of those where we feel compelled to help out and maybe, I don't know, collect stuff for Matthew's Cafe, Graceway Village, and or drop it off or send in a payment if we can afford that. Whatever it may be, know that he's sending us to be his hands and feet, his light in this world, that darkness has not overcome it. It has not overcome it. Don't miss that this Easter morning. Finally, he says this, and with that, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. We're children of his. Guess what? Holy Spirit resides in us. The same Spirit that lived in Jesus lives in us. That should humble you. That should empower you, encourage you. When you really wrap your mind around it, so amazing. So be encouraged. God's Spirit living in you, living in me, and let us continue in the mission. Some of our groups I know are making masks. Thank you. Keep up the hard work. We're so grateful. We got to think of a new name or a name for all these ladies who do this hooking and stuff. Anyways, moving on. But know this, receive the Holy Spirit. It's there for us. Just ask God. Maybe you just need to pray to him right now and say, Lord, help me to know that your Holy Spirit lives in me. Send it afresh to me, maybe. Fill me up, overflowing. Some of you may have friends or family that you've heard are maybe being tested or are sick, or maybe you've been tested. You're not sure of what this COVID-19 is going to be, but you may think that it may come closer to home than you'd hoped. May the Holy Spirit meet you where you're at. May his love surround you and fill you. May you know to the core of who you are that he is good. He is faithful. He is risen. And he is risen indeed. Know this and be encouraged. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for meeting us here. Thank you for your love for us. Thank you for rising. We proclaim that truth. We are grateful for this new creation. Help us to lean into it and live into it. Help us to be your hands and your feet, your salt and your light, that we may go where you have called us to go, that we may be the people you've called us to be. We are so grateful, Lord, for this day of all days. May we live in hope and in joy. May we live in step with you. We pray this in the mighty name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.